Hi, everyone. I'm Steve McCracken, Pastor Steve to many of you. I'm the senior pastor here at Grace Point Community Church in Tigard, Portland, Oregon. And I want to say right away, I miss you. I am not used to just talking into a camera and not having you fill the room in front of me, but circumstances that we find ourselves in make that necessary. In fact, I used to tease, someday I'm going to be on a sunny beach in Maui, and I'll just preach sermons in a setting like this. But this isn't that time. I have seen some of you, and that's been really refreshing. In fact, on a couple of occasions, I almost hugged one or two of you, and then I thought, I could get arrested potentially. So we stayed away from that. But I hope and I pray for you daily, as does our entire staff and overseers and leaders here at Grace Point. And we pray that you're physically well and also spiritually strong. This hurricane force wind that has come in to our lives in the name of COVID-19 is bigger and stronger than probably most of us have ever been through. So today my purpose is to sort of look in on you a little, find out how you're doing, or at least ask about how you're doing. And I hope your answer is not just a physical one, but I'm really looking for the strength inside that says God's still working and will be with us through all of this. So real quick on my end, my family as well. Our son is in Australia, and as of this morning, I understand that Australia has been closed to travel, so he'll be holding strong there, and the rest of us are kind of managing life like you, day by day, sometimes moment by moment. I will tell you that social spacing or separation, as some have called it, is a form of torture to at least two in the McCracken family. In fact, I have a memory. Go to your room. Those words were a harsh form of punishment for me when I was a little guy, and it seems to me that's kind of become the norm for more than a few of us in our church family, and it's not a funny or laughing matter, of course. Here at the church, the staff are solid. They are steady. And they are well, and we are together looking for different ways to do ministry. We love the expression, the building is closed, but Grace Point is open. And that's something that you'll hear not only in these few moments together, but in the coming conversations that we'll have. And I know I'm using conversations differently, but in these coming kind of points of contact with you, I'll give a report, maybe even ask one of the staff to join me in these moments just to say, hey, we're okay. How are you? But the plan starting now is to come and try to offer weekly words of hope from the God of all hope. Romans 13 or 15 verse 13 tells us that he is the God of all hope, and it's actually a prayer that he would fill us with joy and peace in believing so that we would abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to pray right now to the God who will deliver us hope in these times together. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus, who is powerful, who is present, and who is incredibly personal to us. You have said that you are our refuge and our strength, our constant companion in times of trouble. And I pray that as a result of even these few minutes on a video or audio message, that these devotional moments would deliver that, that you would remind and reinforce in the hearts of your people that you are, in fact, there and our constant companion in this a time of trouble. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So God's constant companionship in a full-blown panic is what I have on my mind today in these few moments. What do we know about panic? I want you to think about God's constant companionship in a full-blown crisis or a panic. Now, I was thinking about that, and I looked it up, found out that it has to do with sudden fear and anxiety that can lead to wildly unthinking actions or behaviors. So sure enough, I'm in the take-back line, if you can imagine that, at Costco recently when all this started coming down. And a man behind me, I happened to notice because his cart bumped into me, and it was over full of stuff. And he saw me look, and we had a few moments. There was a long line, and I said, are you coming back with that stuff? It looked like supplies that he might need for a long sort of lockdown. And he said, yeah, and kind of rolled his eyes. And I said, why? And he said, well, I overbought. So we laughed, and it turns out that was probably $150 worth of stuff that he bought in a panic. More personally, I thought of a panic that I thought of when the news came to my family that our youngest daughter would have heart surgery. She was 5 years old. And that made me wobble. It was something I wasn't ready for. It's something I didn't see as part of a little girl in my life, in our lives. But that was a moment of panic. And then I thought much wider than that. Of course, she came through that great, and she's strong today. But I thought of 9/11. Probably you did too. That was probably the biggest panic most of us could point to in our time on this earth. Huge crisis, a panic that we went through. What are you thinking of right now? And how did God come through for you in that panic? You would expect this from me, but I really had a heart to begin to bring you words of hope from the God of all hope, as I mentioned. And so I opened my Bible, and wouldn't you know, I bumped into the very first and biggest full-blown panic that I came to in the Bible was the panic of Moses and God's people in the Exodus. So I just thought I would kind of retell that story for a couple of minutes, just kind of relive it and relearn from it. So after 10 tries, God sent Moses and Aaron, told them to go to Pharaoh and insist that Pharaoh release God's people from their imprisonment of hundreds of years. And he refused and refused and refused. And after 10 tries, Pharaoh finally let God's people go. It wasn't a, oh, okay, you guys have been patient long enough. It was these words in Exodus 12:31. Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron during the night. This is after the 10th and the deadly plague. And he ordered them, get out, leave my people, and take the rest of your people with you. So after 10 tries, get out. And God then led his people from captivity in the land of Goshen toward the land of his promise, the Holy Land. We know it as Israel today. And And he had Moses lead the people. And he led his people as well through his presence in the form of a cloud and a fire. Both were called pillars. A pillar of clouds, or sort of a vertical cloud, is the vision I have, and a pillar of fire, similarly a vertical pillar of fire. And he led his people with those two things. Some have called those theophanies, which is in the Bible. It's a reference to God in a physical presence appearing. Another one comes to mind in Daniel chapter 3. You might look that up. In Daniel, they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into a furnace. And then people were sent to the furnace to remove those three, and they said, wait a second, weren't there three in the fire? And that answer was confirmed, yes, and they said, well, there's four in there, and no one's burned up, and no harm has come to them. Well, that was a theophany. That was the presence of God, at least an angel of God. But back to Exodus in the story, God leads his people with this pillar of cloud during the day and fire during the night, and it looks like this. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God led his people in this way. And verse 20 in Exodus 13 says, the Israelites left and went to the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went ahead of them and guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided a light at night in a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night, and the Lord did not remove the pillars from them, and he continued to walk in front of his people. So Pharaoh didn't take this lying down. He almost predictably had a sudden change of heart, and he gave chase. And as he closed in on the Israelites, that's when I got the image of a panic. The people thought they were free only to hear the sound of his approach, and it was a panic-filled moment for the people of God. It's recorded with these words. As Pharaoh approached, chapter 14, verse 10, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here into the wilderness to die? Weren't there enough graves for us back in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? They just go on and on. Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still there in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us just live like this as slaves in Egypt. It's better to be a slave there than a corpse here in the wilderness. Terrible, terrible moment. Followed by the biggest moment in this story. God's amazing words of comfort and of confidence and of reassurance given to his people in that moment. Listen to this. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. And the fulfillment of God's promise happened as he promised. He caused the sea, the Red Sea, to part, and his people to be delivered to the other side of the sea on dry ground. And then the seas came and returned, crushing the charging army of Pharaoh and killing all of the pursuers. God's people had been delivered. And listen to this wonderful statement of all of that. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians. They were filled with awe before him, and they put their faith in the Lord and in his servant, Moses. There's takeaways all over the place, people. If you were here right now, I would just spend some time imagining a whole bunch of those. But I want you to do that. I want you to think about takeaways. Maybe it's like, whew, that was close. Or maybe it would be like, yes! You know, sort of that picture of Rocky. Yes! We're free! We made it! We're alive! I just can't wait for that day when it comes to this COVID-19 crisis where we get to say the same thing. You know what happened in that story that we've talked about a little bit here? The people were filled with song. They exploded with joy and with gratitude and with worship and thankfulness to the God, and only God could have done that, let's be clear. The God that rescued his people, the God that came through in a great crisis. And it came up in chapter 15, the very opening words went like this, and they were a song. The Bible says, then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has hurled both horse and rider into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he gives me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and armies he's hurled into the sea, but he delivered all of us. Maybe that's what you're feeling right now, is a wish for, a longing for that day to speed its way to us. What is a couple of takeaways I can give you right now? The first and probably the most obvious, God is present. He was present then in that panic, and he's present still. Don't doubt that. He's present. A second takeaway is that he delivered his people. It's the reason the story is told the most in the Bible of any other rescue story of God. He delivered his people then, and he still does. And a third takeaway, God deserved their praise, didn't he? And he deserves ours now and when COVID-19 is done. I want to leave you with a thought that's coming your way as soon as this video or audio, whichever format you're hearing it in or seeing it. There will be links on that to several songs that have been picked that fit the theme of this discussion today, that God's constant companionship. And the songs are these. Do It Again. Remember that one? We've seen you move mountains, God. We've seen you part seas. We ask you to do it again in eliminating this threat, keeping us safe. So Do It Again. Look for that song. And another one, most fittingly, Waymaker. You are the Waymaker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, the light in the darkness. And there's a lot of that today. So as you listen to that song, just see God as coming through for you. I want to pray for you and then sign off and tell you I'll see you again real soon. So Lord, we love you. We really love you. We come to you now with hopeful hearts, even though they're heavy. We see a lot of impact in our own lives. There's panic around us. Lord, we admit there's panic in us a lot of the time. But we come to you and ask for your calm in this storm. We pray that we would be reminded that you are the Waymaker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper. And you came through in a panic back then, Lord. And we pray that you would come through in this time for us. Reassure us with this story and this time we've had with you. And Lord, remind us we don't have to wait for a next video time together. We have you who said again that you are our constant companion in times of trouble. So help us to hold on tight to you as you hold on to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.